Hi, and welcome to this Wisdom Circle conversation. And the topic is creating healthy boundaries. I've been doing presentations on stress management for decades now, and it seems this is one of the topics that comes up time and time again because I think it's so necessary to talk about. It's part of human behavior, and it's a topic that really needs to be addressed. And so let's kind of dive into it, see what we come up with here. And I should begin by saying that everything I'm going to tell you is really a reminder of what you already know. Healthy boundaries, for the most part, for most everybody, have to be careful how I say that, really is common sense. But as we have seen, when people are stressed, common sense is not too common. So let's kind of dive into this and see what we come up with here. So before we begin, I want to begin share with you a quote that you may have heard me mention before. I like it a lot, so I say it everywhere I go, every chance I get. But that's because I like to hear it myself, but also I like to share it with other people. And the quote goes like this. It says, "To know and not to do is not to know." Okay, I'll say it again. To know and not to do is not to know. And what I mean by that, or what is meant by that, is that you can know all the right things to do to live a healthy life, but if you don't do them, what good are they? You know, I think we've all heard this expression either as kids from our parents or parents as we are parents to our kids. What I'm saying is going in one ear and out the other. And you don't want to have that happen. You want this wisdom to stay in the center long enough to process it and do something with it. So again, to know and not to do is not to know. So we're all on this quest for self-improvement. This is actually something which has been going on for quite some time, millennia, if not longer. And we're all trying to improve ourselves. I mean, I think for the most part, everyone is in that category. And so this quest actually brings upon to us goals or behavior changes, behavior modifications, so that we can actually get to a higher point on the mountain to get a better view of the world, if you will, or the cosmos. And so, you know, people actually have self-improvement goals on New Year's resolutions. It might be some kind of behavior modification when people turn a certain birthday, like, you know, a 3-0, 4-0, 5-0, 6-0, you know, the big O's. There's even some kind of behavior modification with people who do things for Ash Wednesday, you know, giving things up for Lent. There's all kinds of ways and behaviors that we have in social norms to do this. So again, nothing really new, but what we're going to talk about is how we can do something for ourselves. And so, I'd like to begin by saying that healthy boundaries really are essential for one to live a healthy life. They provide structure, and quite often they provide stability in our lives. And so we want to have that structure and stability so that we don't become amoebas and kind of like go all over the place. It's, you know, part of this idea of improving ourselves. What I often say too is that healthy boundaries is a code for appropriate behavior. And Lord knows we're seeing lots of inappropriate behaviors going on right now in the world, but they've been going on for quite some time. It's nothing new today, but we see a lot more inappropriate behaviors because of maybe technology or a number of other things I won't go into right now, but things that you scratch your head, raise your eyebrows, and just think to yourself, how on earth is this going on right now? So we want to try and instill a sense of healthy boundaries and call to play appropriate behaviors. And so that leads one to what I call is the art of healthy boundaries. And this is important for everybody. It doesn't make a difference who you are, anyone living on planet Earth needs to engage in practice healthy boundaries. I'm often reminded of trying to explain this in terms that people can understand. And so one of the things I do is use a metaphor, but I came across this concept I thought I'd share with you that says that establishing healthy boundaries is a course correction in your life to avoid becoming shipwrecked. And again, you know, our body is the ship navigating life, the sea of life. We don't want to end up shipwrecked. And when our life grinds to a halt, that's kind of like what happens. And so by doing just a short course correction, we can kind of escape the dangers of the shoals that tend to lure us in and cause problems. So one question I have for you is, what's an area in your life that you want to make a course correction? And there's no shortage of this. You know, we have eating habits, sleeping habits, financial habits, financial responsibilities. We have relationships, personal relationships, where we can do some course corrections too. Screen time. There's no shortage of areas there where we can begin to kind of tighten the reins, if you will. Again, another metaphor, because what we're talking about here is kind of abstract, and this does help, is that every cell in your body has a cell membrane. And this membrane, I fall back on the words of Bruce Lipton, who says that the membrane basically is the intelligence of the cell, because it allows it to keep things in that need to stay in and to keep things out that don't belong in there. And so, but the cell membrane has some flexibility. It's not a rigid structure. And in this idea of a cell membrane, the flexibility is the receptor sites that allow things to come in, like the nutrients and the oxygen, so that we can actually get some integrity to maintain itself in the cell. But also it keeps things in that don't belong outside the cell, like the nucleus, the mitochondria, and the DNA, the RNA. Those things have got to stay inside the cell. So the cell membrane is actually a form of intelligence to regulate what goes in and what goes out. And of course, what goes out for a cell will be like the waste products and things. So every cell has a cell membrane. Every cell's got this inherent wisdom to know the structure and integrity. And what I typically say is that we all need to have this sense of structure and integrity. Otherwise, we have a false sense of security, and that definitely serves no one. And what happens when your cell bound, your cell walls or your healthy boundaries don't exist, or they've got huge gaping holes, is that things kind of go in and out willy-nilly, and it's pure chaos. And what I typically say is that a life of no boundaries is chaos. It's chaos in terms of having no sense of structure and stability. And what happens is people tend to get a feeling of victimization. They get a feeling of poor, poor, pitiful me. And you know, you hear victimization when you hear people do what I call as the BMW syndrome, stands for bitch, moan, and whine. And there's a lot of that going on right now. And what we don't want to do is navigate toward the direction of victimization, because it really serves no one. It doesn't do any good at all. So there's, in essence, there's two kinds of behaviors. There's appropriate and inappropriate. You know, we all want to kind of gear ourselves toward the appropriate behaviors and act within the, not just the guidelines of society, but also our own personal integrity. You know, there's a wonderful expression that says that personality is what you do when no one's looking. And this same thing too is true too, that, you know, what's appropriate behaviors, those are things that you do whether someone's aware of them or not, aware of what you're doing. So we want to try and do more appropriate behaviors and less of the inappropriate behaviors, or hopefully none of the inappropriate behaviors. But we live in a very, very rapidly changing world. You're probably well aware of this. So we have things like a 24/7 society, which that right there should tell you that there's no boundaries going on. People are into immediate gratification. That again might suggest that we don't have good boundaries. A lot of voyeurism to see how other people are living their lives as opposed to living our own lives. We have major sensory overload with all this wonderful technology. And we don't want to bash technology. We just want to say that we need to have healthy boundaries with that. But we're living in a rapidly changing world, and there is instability. There's a lot of unknowns. So healthy boundaries give us a sense of stability in a rapidly changing world that seems to have few boundaries itself. And that does provide a sense of comfort, I think. So let's kind of like just put this into real simple terms here. There are three basic behaviors. I know I said two, appropriate and inappropriate, but there's actually, they fall in three categories, passive, aggressive, and assertive. And we'll come back to that in a question in a moment here. But the one thing to ask you is, how are your behaviors? overall, how are your behaviors? Well, how would you rate yourself? And this is kind of like a silent rhetorical question because you don't have to answer it out loud. But just think to yourself, you know, where can I pull the reins in? I think we all have those moments where we feel like we could do a better job with things. And that's one reason why we go to workshops and retreats and seminars to kind of get some information and help us make some decisions on how to do a course correction. So we learn healthy behaviors first through our parents and possibly grandparents, school teachers, things like that. And they're the ones who say to us, you know, only one piece of dessert tonight, no phone calls after 9 o'clock. They give us rules and regulations. And the kids, oh my God, they fight these tooth and nail because they want to have the freedom. What really is going on here is freedom versus responsibility. That's a huge value conflict, but it's also part of the healthy boundary dynamic too, is that, you know, we'd like to have freedom, but we need to have some responsibility. And the cell wall I mentioned earlier really is a sense of responsibility. And that's what healthy boundaries are, a sense of responsibility. So parents give these to kids to teach them how to navigate their lives until they turn 18. And then once they turn 18, hopefully they've got all that down. And then, you know, when you become an adult, you now have to establish your own healthy boundaries because the parents aren't going to do it for you, by and large. I suppose there probably are some parents who might think that it's their job until they die, but really the job's over when the person turns 18 and you're on your own is what it comes down to. But every kid pushes the boundaries. That's their job. They want total freedom. You know, they don't want to go to bed at 8 o'clock. They want to go to bed at 10. They don't want to eat this for dinner. They want to have cereal and Lucky Charms instead. Every kid pushes the boundaries. And again, every parent's responsibility is to rein it in and to have a sense of appropriate behaviors. Otherwise, you're going to get walked over, as every parent knows, walked over. And there's a sense of victimization going on. Like, I can't believe I caved, as what a lot of parents say. I caved in on this because I just couldn't take it anymore. And again, caving in is an example where the boundaries crumble. And again, victimization is not far behind. So who makes the boundaries for you once you turn 18? You do. And a lot of people end up not making boundaries and their life kind of crumbles. You know, I think back to the idea of M. Scott Peck, and he wrote this great book called The Road Less Traveled, but he also did a couple of follow-up books. And he talked about the idea of spiritual growth. And at some point, if your life is a mess, you know, pure chaos, he calls this the chaotic antisocial stage, you crave structure, you crave stability, and you go looking for organizations that will give you that. So it may be something like a church or AA. And then when he mentioned this, I never heard this before, but I've since heard of it several times. There are some people who actually will commit crimes to go to jail just so they can get structure and stability in their life like that. 3 meals a day and clothes, clean clothes to wear and stuff like that. Sounds crazy, but there are some people who are like that. So who makes the boundaries for you? You got to do it. But there are some people who choose not to. And again, the best we can do is wish them well. But in terms of our own lives, we've got to take responsibility. That's the answer right there. So as I mentioned, there's 3 kinds of behavior. There's passive, aggressive, and assertive. And assertive behavior is the one that we want. Passive behavior is where you get walked over. Aggressive behavior is people who are doing the walking over. Neither of those is recommended. And the third one is assertive. And assertive basically is behavior where you put up your boundaries and say, do not enter. Yeah, at least not enter without permission. And so in this case here, assertive behavior is what we want to promote and go for. And this is everything from learning to say no, saying, hey, this is my private time. Do not interfere. Do not interrupt. You get the idea about that. And then we need to actually be able to do that, but do it with a sense of diplomacy so that we're not actually antagonizing somebody else. But to communicate our own boundaries is very, very important as well. So it's not just enough to have them. You got to be able to communicate them to your spouse, your kids, your roommate, your anybody, so that if they don't know about them, they're going to walk into them and again cause some potential problems. You know, I think back to this wonderful movie. Some of you have heard me say this before, but here's take two. I love the movie The Color Purple. And it turns out there's a wonderful scene there where Whoopi Goldberg is on the porch with Oprah Winfrey. And Oprah Winfrey, who is very savvy to behavioral patterns there, says to her, Whoopi Goldberg, "Girl, you're just a welcome mat and people walking all over you." And I thought to myself, wow, that is examples of, or a great example of poor boundaries. When you get walked over, then that's truly what's going on there. So you don't want to be a welcome mat. That's the bottom line. Nobody wants to be walked over whatsoever. And we need to put up the boundaries. There's also a wonderful example of boundaries through this book called Tuesdays with Maury, where Maury says, in essence, he says, the culture we have does not make people feel good about themselves. And you have to be strong enough to say, if the culture doesn't work, don't buy it. So what he's basically saying is, you know, be a culture of one. And it's okay to put up the boundaries and say, here's what we got going on. Do not enter unless you have permission. It's a very, very important concept to share there. You know, one of my friends, his name is Rob Cummings, and he has heard me speak about healthy boundaries, and he decided to get an app for his phone so he has spent less time on Facebook and less time with social media. And he said that he couldn't believe the results, that it really gave him a really good insight to not only what his behavior was, but also to spend more time with his kids. He said that he basically didn't realize how much he was cutting his children out of his life by spending so much time on social media. And I think we probably all have something like that we can relate to. I also want to tell a story of a friend of mine. His name is, we'll just call him Ralph. That's not his real name, but Ralph's life was like a trade wreck. I got to tell you, not good. A divorce, or a really bad marriage. He had some kids that were taken away from him. He lost his job, went through a different job, relocated and stuff. It just, you name the problems, he had them. It was unbelievable. And he heard me give a talk on healthy boundaries, and he kind of mocked me afterwards. He goes, "Healthy boundaries, healthy boundaries." And he just kind of like made fun of the whole concept. And I thought to myself, God, Ralph, of anybody I know, you're the person who needs these the most. You know, you want to say things like, you know, your life's a train wreck, wake up, but you don't, so we're not judgmental. But I just encouraged him to consider making a course correction in his life with just one thing. And it worked. And he really began to take this to heart and did it with a couple other aspects of his life, to the point where he really turned his life around. And he's in a great relationship, has a new job, things are going really smoothly. And he is the best advocate of the concept of healthy boundaries. Now he'll say things like, "Man, healthy boundaries saved my life." And I just have to laugh because he's a great example, a great testimony to the importance of healthy boundaries. But he reminds me of a great quote by Gandhi. And Gandhi said, "First they mock you, then they ignore you, then they accept you." And this is exactly what Ralph was doing. He was mocking me for even mentioning the concept of healthy boundaries. He thought it was crazy. And then for a while, I didn't hear from Ralph at all. The reason being was that I think he was trying to find new ground. But then when he came back around, like I said, he's my best advocate for healthy boundaries because he's actually shown they work. So again, first they mock you, then they ignore you, then they accept you. And, you know, I've heard other people talk about the same concept too, where they say that when you put up healthy boundaries, the people who've been walking over you all of a sudden now meet resistance. And they're like, "What the heck is this?" And they're going to say, you know, "What are you doing? I used to be able to," I mean, they won't say this, but I'm thinking this unconsciously, "I used to be able to walk all over you, and now I can't. What's going on? Why have you denied me entry into your life?" And typically what they'll do is they'll make fun of you, healthy boundaries, kind of like what Ralph did. And they'll mock you. They'll ridicule you. And then at some point they realize if you're really good with your boundaries, they need to go elsewhere. And what they'll do is they'll go find somebody else to walk over. But some people may come back and say, "You know, what's your secret? You're different. I want to be like you." And I think to myself, this is exactly what we want to do to maintain our healthy boundaries, maintain that sense of integrity. And so I've come across a couple of memes on social media, one of which says, if someone throws a fit because you set boundaries, it's just one more bit of evidence the boundary was needed anyway. I love that. And then this other one I saw says this, the only person who gets upset about you setting boundaries are the ones who were benefiting from you not having any. Yeah, so very, very true. and then I saw this one time on Facebook too. It says, a lack of boundaries invites a lack of respect. And I thought, wow, I love it. And then here's one more. This one says, boundaries are the distance at which I can love you and me simultaneously. Isn't that great? I'll read it again. Boundaries are the distance at which I can love you and me simultaneously. Well, boundaries and healthy boundaries are the name of the game. And I think in the world we're living in right now, where there's so many unknowns and so much uncertainty going on, we need to have some kind of routines. And boundaries would be an example of a good routine where you kind of know your structure in the course of a day so that you don't get washed away by the winds of change. So I like to read to you a couple of things I came across as signs of lack of healthy boundaries. And it sounds like a lot of this may have come from the work of Brené Brown, but this person says, you feel guilt or shame for declining a request. Never a good idea. If you say no, just say, sorry, no, can't do it. I often tell people, just say no, healthy boundaries, and that will get you to a whole new conversation of what behavior is supposed to be. You often feel like people take advantage of you. That's a sign of poor boundaries. You struggle with saying no to others. A fourth one is you tend to overshare or give things away. Number five says you're afraid of disappointing other people. Number six says you feel selfish if you decide what to do is best for you. And that's something that we really need to work on there, because a lot of people feel that way. Number seven says you blame yourself for things that are out of your control. Not a good idea. We can shift that around. Number eight says you think others often manipulate you to get what they want. And if you sense that's going on, most likely it probably is. Number nine, you are dependent on others to feel worthy. Never a good idea. Worth has got to come from within. And last but not least, you fear being rejected or abandoned. So you act a certain way to try and have people like you, and then they walk all over you, and then we have victimization again. So just a couple of signs about lack of boundaries. So now again, I'm going to ask you, where in your life do you need to pull the reins in? Where do you want to do a course correction? That's the most important thing. And again, the categories may include the following. It could be finances, how you spend your money or spend too much of it. Screen time. Do you spend a lot of time in front of your device? Eating habits. We're seeing a lot of those kind of go down the drain right now, with people staying at home, being so close to their fridge all the time. Exercise habits, or lack thereof. Sleep habits and personal relationships. And there's a lot of other categories too, but we'll leave that for there right now. But ask yourself, where in the course of your life could you make a course correction? If you got a pen and paper, I'd say take a moment to write down that. In fact, there's, I believe, a worksheet in the workbook called Creating Healthy Boundaries. So first we have to identify where we need to make the change, and then we go ahead and begin to make some suggestions for this. So if you can find that sheet in the exercises section of the workbook, be good to get that out and take a look at it. You know, I do a lot of work with healthcare providers and nurses, and it turns out that one of the expressions that's often used in the allied health professions, but mostly with nurses, is this: you can't pour from an empty cup. And what we're seeing right now is that people who are constantly giving and giving and giving and not taking time for themselves and doing proper self-care at some point run dry. And then that's when you begin to see things like victimization once again rear its ugly head. So how do we make ourselves accountable to doing the healthy behavior change? In some cases, you know, if we have a support group, we can have someone who sponsors us with making some behavioral changes. But if we don't have something like that, then how can we begin to make a connection with someone who can we can just check in with? You know, I'm a real big fan of support groups. They do wonderful things for people. And one of the best things they do is to kind of make you accountable. So that in the event you're having a rough day, you can call someone and say, hey, here's what's going on. So to make a healthy boundary, to create a healthy boundary, first, we need to actually become aware of parts of our life that are not working. And what can we do to try and do it? Again, just a small course correction. We don't want to do something radically different, because if you do that, then for every change you make, there's going to be a equal and opposite energetic shift coming back at you, which could knock you off your feet. That's why they say start small and work your way up. So I want to invite you now to think to yourself, where can you do a course correction in one of those areas I mentioned? And give yourself some time right now to think about that. And when you do make these behavioral changes, it's important to do it without guilt. Guilt is not something that you want to continue with, because it's a useless emotion. One of the last things I want to mention to you is that healthy boundaries are very liberating. And it's kind of an irony here, because you might think to yourself, God, I've got all these restrictions. I can't do the stuff I used to do all the time. But what really happens is you give yourself permission to be free. And that is very, very liberating. And last but not least, there's a really good book I want to share with you called Boundaries by Henry Cloud and John Townsend. If you get a chance, pick that up. That's a good example of taking you through how to establish healthy boundaries and how to do a good job with that. And I think we'll leave it there. So good luck with the healthy boundaries. Feel free if you want to shoot me an email and just tell me how things are going. I'll be glad to respond back and just check with you and say, I am part of your support group. What can I do to help you with your healthy boundaries?